This morning, we're going to be looking at the book of John. John chapter number 1, starting from verse number 35, and really all the way down to 51. Not going to read it all, but just want to, that's where the thought for this morning's lesson is going to come from. John chapter number 1, 35 through 51. Starting at verse number 35, it says, "And the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and says unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Verse number 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And verse number 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. All right. Now I'm going to stop right there because there's three words that we want to look at from this particular passage. And it's in verse number 39 and then in verse number 43. Verse number 39 and verse number 43. Come, see, and follow Jesus. Come, see, and follow Jesus. Now, when you look at those three words, come means to move or travel toward or into a place thought of as being near or familiar to the speaker. So, in other words, when someone is saying come, they're telling you to move from where you are into a preferred direction, to reach a preferred destination. The word see means to be or become aware of something from observation or from a written or other visual source. And the word follow means to go or come after. You're basically following behind or going or coming after a person that is in a leadership position or is intended to guide you or direct you. Now, you look at what Jesus uses these three words, come, see, follow. Look at what the objective of Jesus is, or what is Jesus striving to accomplish. When you look at that, the last word was follow, meaning disciple. A disciple is a what? A follower of Jesus. So Jesus is seeking to help us to better understand the concepts or the progressive nature of discipleship. How does a person come to become a follower of Jesus? Jesus uses these three words that are important in making a disciple. Come, see, and follow. There's a pattern that is laid out here by Jesus when he says come and see, and then he says follow after me. Come and see, And then he says, follow after me. And then in verse, we read down a little bit more, starting at verse number 45. Starting at verse number 45, it says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, the same thing, come and see. Verse number 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? In other words, where do you know me from? In other words, how can you make a declaration about me not having no guile, me being an Israelite? How do you know this about me? Jesus answered unto him, before that Philip came, called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, Jesus says, I saw you. Verse number 49, Nathanael answered unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now notice again the pattern of discipleship, the pattern of discipleship laid out by Jesus. Jesus first says in verse number 39, come and see. And he repeats that same thing again when the other brother was trying to make a disciple in verse number 46. Nathanael says, and Nathanael said unto Philip, Nathanael says unto Philip the same thing, come and see. And then in verse number 43, Jesus says, follow me. But then verse number 51, Jesus says, hereafter. Now, come and see, if we notice these three thoughts, come and see, follow me, hereafter, they follow the pattern laid out by Jesus in salvation. Salvation's in three tenths, or three parts: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification is that judicial act in which Jesus declares the sinner righteous based upon the sinner's faith in his what? Death, burial, as well as his resurrection. And then the next part is sanctification. That's where Jesus is setting the person apart for his service. He sanctifies us by his blood. He sets us apart for his service by the application of the blood. And in the last part is the glorification. Glorification is that final stage of the righteous, where Jesus changes us from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortality, where Jesus allows us to put on a new body that is, according to the scripture, that has been reserved or prepared for us in the heavens. Now, again, you notice the three patterns. He said, come and see. Then he says, follow me. And then he says, hereafter. Now, if we go over to Hebrews chapter number 10, 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter number 10, 35 through 39. We can see why Jesus or the apostle picks up the same thought. Come see, follow me, hereafter. Justification, sanctification, glorification. It says in Hebrews 10:35, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Now, you notice, if you look at that verse there, come, see, and follow is right before the comma. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Come, see, and follow. The hereafter would be, which has great recompense of reward. That's the hereafter. Verse number 36, it says, for you have need of what? Patience. When you're talking about not casting away your confidence, we have need of patience. One of the hardest things for people to do is learn how to do what? Wait. Learn how to be patient. We have need of patience. Then you hear you get the word again, the hereafter. After you have done the will of God, then you might do what? Receive the promise. For yet a little while, there it is again, the come, see, and follow. Yet a little while, the after is next. He that shall come, what? Will come. And he will not tarry. So in my come, see, and follow stage, as the Lord is striving to make me a disciple, you notice there are three concepts that Jesus pulls out, or the apostle pulls out, to help us to better understand come, see, and follow. The first thing it says, that we ought not to cast away our confidence. The second thing is that we have need of patience. The third thing is that Jesus is coming really, really soon. Because you notice what he says there, cast not therefore away your confidence. You have need of patience, yet just a what? A little while. Just a little while. Just a little while. Now, a lot of times people want the hereafter, but they don't want to do the work that come before that. They don't want to do the work that come before it. Now, what is the work that comes before that? Discipleship requires those three words. To come, see, and do what? Learn how to follow behind Jesus. Learn how to follow behind Jesus. Now, verse number 38 tells me how I can hold on to all of those three words. Come, see, and follow. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and 38 says that the just, those that have been justified, we live by faith. The just live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. What is our hope? Our hope is that we got a great recompense of reward. Our hope is that we'll receive the promise. Our hope is that we'll be ready when Jesus comes. Right? That's your hope. That is your expectation. But he's telling you, in order for you to get to that hope, first, you can't cast away your confidence. Second, you have need of what? Patience. Third, you need to know that Jesus is coming. Now, in just a little bit of time that you're down here, according to the scripture, it is just a little while. It's not a long time. Any life, any length of time you live on the earth, it's just a little while. You, those of you that are past the age of promise, the Lord promised us 70. You can look really back over your life really quick. You can remember very vividly that you, life before that, you can go back 20, 40, 30 years, and you can see life ran real fast to get you where you are. Let you know that you're only down here for what? A very little time, right? Come on, that's the truth, saints. You're only down here for a little time. You must keep confident that Jesus is coming, and that you must be what? Patient. You must be patient. You must let the Lord do what? Work on you. Help you to be ready for him when he comes. And at the end of the day, you got to keep doing those three words. Say, I don't know what I'm going to get when I get here. Well, just come, right? Come. Come and do what? Come and see. Come and see what the Lord has in store for you. You don't know. Eyes haven't seen it. Ears haven't heard it. It hasn't entered into the hearts of men. The things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. All you got to do, love draws you to Jesus. Love will draw you away from being a disciple of other things and learning how to be a follower of Jesus. Learning how to take his yoke and learn of him. That's the truth, saints. Lord says that, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Learning of Jesus. Learning how to be a follower of Jesus. In other words, these lessons don't come overnight. These lessons require time. It requires you spend some time with Jesus. You notice in this very passage, these brothers left from following behind John the Baptizer, and then they started following Jesus. According to John chapter number 1, verse number 35, it says, again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples. In other words, they were following behind John. And then in verse number 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, who said? John said, behold the Lamb of God. And then the two people that were following behind John spake, and they said, it's time for us to follow Jesus. In other words, it's time for us to stop following man and follow Jesus. It's time for us to stop being a disciple of man and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It is amazing how many people have been indoctrinated by men. How they follow behind man. They study their man's books. They study the man's thoughts. They pattern themselves after the man's behaviors, their lifestyles, their dress, the things that they do, the way that they talk. But very few people learn how to be a follower of Jesus. You even look at all of the faiths down through the years, even in holiness. People have followed behind great preachers. Great preachers have mystified people by their delivery of the word, by their passion for the word, by their devotion to the word, to the life of holiness. And people began to become devoted to the person rather than to the one that the preacher was talking about. He was preaching about Jesus. He was striving to get you and I to the point of discipleship where we stop following behind man and follow behind Jesus. It is amazing. Oftentimes I have conversation with Deacon, and Deacon always puts that before me. He said, Elder Scudder, you know, I wonder, what will the church be if you didn't do what you do? Would we still keep following behind the Lord? In other words, because of the convenience that is presented before us, would that be a deterrent? In other words, will it turn us away if the Lord snatches this ease away from us? Do we still have a love for Jesus enough to come and see and follow behind him? That's the true saints. Your love got to be deeper than the luxuries that have been afforded to us. Yes, we love the luxuries. We love the easy that the Lord has put in our lives to make our travel with him a little more tolerable. But what if the Lord snatches that away from us? And what if our love has to be tested? What if our love has to be tried? Where will you be at? Huh? Where will you be at? What will you do? What will the righteous do? I believe the Lord will really show us just who we really are. It'll really show us just how much a disciple of Jesus we intend to be. That's why the Hebrew letter tells us, don't you cast off your confidence. You say you love Jesus, you're devoted to Jesus. Don't you cast off your confidence. Why? Because you have need of what? Patience. That after you have done the will of Jesus, after you have done the will of Jesus, then you'll get the promise. Yet a little while, he that shall come will come. And when he comes, he's not going to wait. Huh? He's not going to wait. He's not going to delay. When he makes his move, no prayer, no fasting is going to stop Jesus. That's why we sing that song, Lord, give me just a little bit more time to pray. Why? To get myself right. Get my faith where it need to be at in you. So where I don't put my confidence in man, but I learn how to trust you, Jesus. No matter what I go through, no matter what I experience in life, I need to learn how to trust Jesus. That's what you went through this the other day, brother, when that bank incident. That was just an example of your life where the Lord was trying to teach you to trust Him. No matter how hard things get, no matter how tired and frustrated you become, put the Lord first. That's what that woman was in that window was looking at you to let you know. Jesus says, I see you. Jesus said, I see what you're doing. And when you put me first, I will make a way out of no way just for you. When people look at you and say it's not fair, come on, I've put my time in. I've been devoted to Jesus. I'm showing the Lord that I trust Him. And therefore, because I trust Him, there's no good thing will He withhold from me. He will make a way out of no way for me. He will show me that I am special to Him. He will show me that He cares for me, right? That's the true saint. The Lord will do that for you. But the just got to do what? We got to live. Huh? The just has got to live every day. Huh? Even when stuff get difficult. Even when you don't feel like it. You still got to live. Huh? Come on, saints. You didn't come into the church to die. You came into church to live. You said, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus in the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection means the power to live. Come on, saints. The Lord God brought you in the holiness so that you can learn the power to live. Live when people persecute you. Live when they say all manner of evil against you. Live when your body is racking with pain. Live when you suffer in this flesh. Live when your back is up against the wall. Live when you ain't got no money. When you're living from paycheck to paycheck. Lord, I still got to learn how to live. The just shall live. They live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? That's the truth. What do you want in the end? I want to please Jesus. I do everything I do because I want to please the Lord. With or without you? Huh? Whether I got somebody to walk with me or not? Whether I got somebody to hold my hand or not? Whether I got somebody to encourage me to say, keep on running or not, my mind has got to be made up that I want to go back with Jesus when He comes. I want to see the glory that the Lord has made a part of this plan of salvation. Huh? Justification. He has put me in a position to declare me righteous. Huh? Declared me righteous because I believe. I believe what? That Jesus died for me. That Jesus was buried. And that He rose from the grave the third day. According to the scripture. My faith told me to stop sinning. Huh? All that wrong stuff that I was doing. Because I believed in Jesus. My faith said, Stephen, you need to stop it. Huh? You need to stop it because what you're doing is killing you. It's not helping you live. It's killing you. It's not drawing you closer to life, but it's taking you further away from life. Therefore, I had to stop that stuff. And I had to start living the way Jesus said for me to live. Justified. I had to go down in the water. Huh? Go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? So that I could take on His death. So that I could be, the blood of Jesus could be applied to my life. So that I no longer have sin stained on my body. I just needed more than someone to forgive my sin. See, the new interpretation of Scripture says it's for the forgiveness of sin. But no, that's not what the Scripture says. It says it's for the remission. The word remission means to remove. Huh? You want sin removed. If you got cancer in your body, you don't want somebody to keep coming around to you telling you how sorry they are. They forgive you. You don't want nobody to say, I'm sorry you got cancer. You go to the doctors. You go to the treatments because you want the cancer. my sin. Jesus, take it away. Cut it out. Take that no good thing out of me, right? Take the stain. Take the guilt. Take the habit out of my life. So that when I come up at that water, I can walk in the newness of life. So that I can enter into that second phase of salvation, which is sanctified. I come up out that water in the name of Jesus Christ to sanctify my life. Meaning no longer living after the dead man, but I'm living after the one that gave me life. He allowed me to die in that water. I stopped breathing in that water. He says you're buried with him by baptism, just like I was planted together in the likeness of his death. I shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus got up out the grave, and he's telling me when I go down in that water, Stephen, get up out the grave. Come out of death. Come out of death thinking. Come out of death living. Come up and walk in the newness of life, right? That's the truth. Come up and walk in the newness of life. That's sanctification. My life is set apart to be used by Jesus. My life is set apart that the Lord might get the glory out of my life. This thing is personal, saints. Everybody's not going to understand. Why are you devoted? Why are you dedicated to Jesus? Come on, brother. That's what he was talking about. He just wanted to go to the bank so he could pay his tithes. He wasn't trying to prove to nobody but Jesus. He said, Lord, I heard your word. You told me to honor you with the first fruits of my substance. You said before I pay my bills to give you what you do, I owe you my 10%, Lord. It's holy. It's sanctified. It's sacred. It's dedicated, right? And the last thing I want to be in the tailnose of my life is a God robber. I don't want Jesus to look at me and know I'm taking nothing from him. Why? Because it all belongs to him, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That brother just went in that bank and said, what do you need? That brother said, I got a responsibility to my church. I got to pay what is due. That's the truth. I got to pay what is due. How'd you get here? I walked a long ways. Went in the wrong direction. But it does not change the word. Come on, saints, you're sanctified. I'm meaning you're set apart to be used by Jesus. You owe the Lord your body. Your body ought to be a living sacrifice. It's got to be holy and acceptable unto Jesus. This is just your reasonable service. How do you get that way? You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right?
Say,
why you can't pay your tithes? Because your mind ain't changed. You need to have a new mind. You need to put death where it is and come up walking in the newness of life. Let the world know. Tell yourself. You look in that mirror and say, I don't belong to me no more. I no longer belong to Stephen. I belong to Jesus. The life that I live, the life that I live. When I wake up in the morning, I'm living life. When I go to the store, I'm living life. When I go to my job, I'm living life. When I walk the streets, I'm living life. The life that I live because of the one that died for me, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Your mom and your daddy didn't die for you.
No. Thank you.
Only Jesus.
Right.
Only Jesus shed his blood. Shed his blood because he had you in mind. He was just trying to get you to the point in life Well, you realize sin ain't got nothing to offer you. And what did he say to you when you got tired of sin? He said, come and see. Huh? Come and see where I live at. Huh? That's what verse number 38 says. Look at chapter number, look at St. John 1 and verse 38.
And Jesus turned and saw them following.
Huh? That's what the Lord just want to see you stop following behind sin. Huh? People be trying to figure out this thing called holiness.
Yeah.
They say, how can you live like this?
Yeah.
How could you live right like this?
Yeah.
Didn't you hear them cuss you out and you didn't open up your mouth?
Yeah.
How can you live like this?
Yeah.
Come and see.
Come, and
come on and see.
Yeah.
See what I see.
Yeah.
Come see what I see.
Lord,
what did you see? I saw Jesus.
Yeah.
I saw the Lord God strong and mighty, humble himself, and became obedient unto death. Not just any old death, the death of the cross. When the scriptures say, cursed is every man that hangs on that tree. I see Jesus show me so much love that he became a curse for me, right? He became a curse for you. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Huh? Come on. You can't go about establishing your own way of doing this. You got to follow behind Jesus. Come on, saints. It's time to stop following behind man and follow behind Jesus. I know people have made great impressions in your life, but Jesus says, I'm a jealous God. You can have no other God before you. Huh? As loving as you are to me, and as much as you express your appreciation to me, I challenge you, do not follow Stephen. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Take his yoke. Take his yoke. Learn of him, right? His yoke is easy, right? Huh? His yoke is easy, saints. Huh? Come on, read that verse again. Then they turned. Yes.
Said unto them, what seek ye?
They
said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master.
What are you looking for? I'm looking for Jesus.
Huh?
I'm looking for Jesus, saints.
Yeah.
I ain't looking for you. Huh? Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Because I asked where you at, because I didn't see you in service. Don't think that the service stops because you're not here.
Yeah.
Huh? Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Don't you think you run this thing? No, you don't. The Lord is the one who woke me up this morning. He is the one I praise. I'm just looking out for your best interest. But I got that kind of mind. If you don't want to praise him, I'll praise him all by myself. You don't want to live for Jesus, I'll live for him all by myself. Why? Because it's worth it. Serving the Lord is worth it. Come on, saints, serving the Lord is worth it.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yes, it is.
What I write is that brother. That brother said, "Read that verse again."
They said, "Jesus
thought,
what seek you?"
What seek you?
Him,
see, in other words, you can't do that word "come and see" until you get in the seeking mode.
Yes.
In other words, you got to get tired of where you are. Huh? You need to come and see what Jesus is offering you. Huh? Notice what he said. The Lord said the only reason they left John is because they saw Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they respected him. How do you know they respected him? They didn't call him son of Joseph. Huh? They didn't call him man. Huh? They didn't call him sir. They use a very significant term. They say, Rabbi, which is to mean master. Meaning I'm a servant. You are my master. Come on, last week's lessons told you the children, obey your mama and your daddy. For this is right. Did he tell you to honor your mother and father? the first commandment with the promise. Huh? Obey him so he can be well with you. So you can live your days long. Then as it says, as you enter into maturity and into growth, it says, servants, obey your master. So that lets me know these brethren were willing to grow. Because they approached Jesus with respect. Not knowing him from a can of paint. All they knew is they followed behind John, and John kept talking about a man. John says, when he comes, I'm not worthy to latch his shoes should they come unloose. John said, before I am, he was. John said, physically, I'm older than him, but Jesus was before me. He is preferred before me. Why? Because he was before me. I am just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, making his way straight. And the next day when John saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the one that takes away sin, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
When they heard that, they said, John, we got to stop following behind you. Because this is the one you've been talking about. This is the man right here. They left John. According to verse number 35, 36, they left John. They heard John say, behold, the Lamb of God. Verse right after that, verse number 38, verse 37, they said they left John and they started following behind Jesus. Come on, saints. Don't you? That's how you know when somebody really want to be saved. When you're working with people, you know when they really want to be saved. Because they're not following behind you. They listening to what you say, and they start to follow behind Jesus. You ain't got to tell them to run. You ain't got to tell them it's prayer time. You got to just tell them what the days of the service is. They'll beat you right here. Why? Because they're trying to let you know, I'm not following behind you. I'm following behind Jesus. Jesus said, just come and see, right? After you come and see, then you can follow behind him, right? But you got to get in the seeking mode first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? You got to get in the seeking mode first. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked do what? Forsake his ways. Unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him come back to Jesus. Jesus will have mercy on him. Our God will abundantly pardon him, right? How do I seek Jesus? Blessed are those who do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. How early in the morning will I seek thee, O Lord? When I rise from my bed in the morning, Lord, I want to let the Lord know I seek him, right? Come on, saints. Even in the noonday, I need to let the Lord know I have not given up. I am still seeking after you, Jesus. In the midnight hour, when nobody else is up, when nobody else wants to be bothered, I still got to let the Lord know, Jesus, I have not died out. I have not fainted. I have not given up. I am still seeking after you, right? Seek the Lord with all of your heart. Seek him. Seek him with all of your heart. Yes, saints, that's truth. Read the rest of that verse.
And it says, then Jesus turned to them, and said unto them, what seek ye?
Yes.
They said unto him, Rabbi,
yeah.
Who dwellest thou?
That, come on. What did they want? They just wanted to know where the Lord lived at. That's what you got to understand, saints. When you're talking to people, you have to let them know Jesus is inside of me. Where does the Lord dwell at? He lives inside of me. He has become my hope. He is my future. He is what I have to look forward to. I ain't looking forward to a new job. Not looking forward to houses and land. I ain't looking forward to money. I ain't even looking forward to my grandchildren. If the Lord should let them come, amen. But my hope is in Jesus. I am looking forward to the day that I can see Jesus, right?
Right.
You look at Sister Singleton. That's how you got to know this thing is real.
Yes.
You can't put your hope in stuff.
Right.
Huh?
Nope.
Look at her. She didn't even get a chance to see her this last grandbaby. But the Lord was letting you and I know it's more important things in life.
Right.
Huh? It's more important things in life than seeing people.
Yes.
It's more important things in life than getting stuff.
Right.
Because when you leave, you're going to leave by yourself.
Yes.
And you ain't taking nothing with you. Huh? Your family will live on. Huh? Your stuff will stay right here. Your car will stay on the street. But where will your soul be? Huh? That's why David said, Lord, let my soul live. Huh? I love my children. Yes, I want them to know Jesus. But at the end of the day, the Lord told me to save myself, right? If they don't want to be saved, I still got to be saved, right?
Jesus.
They don't want Jesus. I still got to want him for myself.
He
is my hope.
Yes, he is.
He is what I have to look forward to.
Yeah.
I know some of you may want a wife and all that other good stuff. I know it. And that's good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, that cannot be your hope. My hope has got to be Jesus. Why? Because it is not in his will. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For me to have this or for that, I still got to love him. Huh? I still got to be confident. Huh? In this one thing. I cannot be confident in anything else. I've got to be confident in this one thing. I want to dwell where Jesus is, right? That's what they said. Lord, where do you dwell at, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, where do you dwell at? Where do you live at, Jesus? And what did the Lord say? Come on and see. Come on and see where Jesus is. Huh? Come on and see where Jesus is. Come and see. Yes. Read a little bit more.
They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with
him. What did them brothers do? I'm trying to tell you. The Lord is here. The Lord is in his church. He dwells in his church. Huh? He said this church is his body. That Lord said that. Now, come on. The Lord said that. Lord said, this church is my body. I purchased it with my blood. Huh? And if you want to be in it, you got to be justified. You got to be buried with him by baptism. And when you come up out that water, you got to be sanctified. You got to walk in the newness of life. Right? You got to put away the guile. You got to put away the malice. You got to put away the hatred. You got to put away the emulation. Huh? You got to put away all that fornication. All that adultery. All that uncleanliness. Huh? All that thievery and murdering. All that lying. You got to put all of that away from you. And you got to speak the truth. Huh? You got to speak the truth. Even when it hurts, you got to speak the truth, right? Huh? You got to walk upright. Huh? You got to do and say the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. You got to learn how to keep your mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before you. Huh? You got to learn how to let your speech be seasoned with salt. Huh? You got to learn how to think on good things. Lord said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There be a good report. Huh? Think on these things.
Yes.
So when that doctor bring you that bad report, take it and put it down. Yes. Say, no, I'm not going to think on that thing.
Uh-huh.
That thing ain't going to stay on my mind.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell Jesus, Lord, behold their threatenings.
Yes.
Huh? What threatenings? Ain't nobody trying to take your life. Yes, it is. That devil is trying to attack my body. He's trying to take away my confidence. Huh? He's trying to weaken my faith. He don't want me to believe in Jesus. He don't want me to know that the Lord can and Jesus will. He is a healer all day long. Huh? There's nothing too hard for Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. There's nothing too hard for him, right?
That's right.
What's hard for you is not hard for Jesus. What's difficult for you is not difficult for Jesus. What's challenging for you is nothing for Jesus. Huh? All he must do is do what? Speak. That's what you need to ask the Lord Jesus. Just speak it. Lord, if you speak it, it'll be. Because the Lord said, when he said, let there be light, what happened?
It was.
Oh, if he speaks, it'll be, right?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Can't nobody stop it? Huh? What do you think the Lord did to that lady at that bank? Lord told that lady, look up. Huh? Put your eyes on one of my servants. Huh? Put your eyes on him. Look and see how the people try to turn you away. Say, no, you cannot come in unless you got an appointment. Behold their threatenings, Lord Jesus. They don't realize all this long while I walked in this heat, just to serve you, just to give you what you do, Jesus. Lord told said, look. Lord said, I'll speak a word. They said, no, you can't come in. No, you ain't got no appointment. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how sick you look. You cannot come in. Lord, speak, Jesus. Lord said, look up. Stop what you're doing. Look up. Turn over and look at my servant. Seize him right there. Get up out your seat. What you getting up for? Where you going? What you going to do? I don't know where I'm going. Come on, sir. Don't you see all these other people out here? But the Lord didn't speak to me about them. He spoke to me about you. Come on, that sounds just like Jesus. That sounds just like Jesus. Jesus stopped what he was doing when Bartimaeus said, Jesus, 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 right? Lord stopped what he was doing, and he came right to Bartimaeus. Not the naysayers, not the people that told him to shut his mouth, not the people that told him that the Lord can't do it. Lord came right to the one that was crying out, Jesus, down in his soul, right? Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And what did the Lord do? Lord gave him just what he asked for. Just what he asked. No more, no less. Just what he asked for. And then the Lord says, now look, I'm going to take care of you just like I take care of a baby. Just when you walk out the door, here comes the trolley. Who but Jesus can do that? Do you understand the timing of all of that? You need the Lord to do all of this for you, saints. The just. We walk by what? Faith. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things what? Lord, help me to see when my eyes can't see. Help me to see what? Not what I want, but who I need. Who do you need? I need Jesus. At the end of the day, I just need Jesus. If I got Jesus, everything else, it falls into place. One thing I learned, the Lord is always on time. Even when you don't think it's going to work, he is always on time, right? He let them things fall right into place. Just like they're supposed to. But my challenge, the only thing I need to do is I can't cast away my confidence. I have need of what? Patience. Yet a what? A little while. That devil tried to make you think you'd be walking all day long. And it was just a little while. When you look back over your life, it was just a little while. It really wasn't that long, right? But it felt like hours. But that's how that devil be trying to play on your mind. Try to play on your mind, make you think something that's just a little while. So be. But then when you look back after the Lord done come by and bless and deliver, and you say, Lord, how foolish was I to even consider murmuring and complaining, knowing when you had it all worked out. Come on, do y'all believe that, saints? The Lord had it all worked out. If I just let patience have her perfect word, if I just let the Lord work it out for me, he knows just what he's doing. All I need to do is just learn how to do a lean and depend on Jesus. Trust him. That's it. Just trust him. Lean not to your what? Your own. But in all your ways, ignite. Nobody but Jesus gave me the strength to walk from one point to the next. Nobody but Jesus kept my heart beating. Huh? Nobody but Jesus kept my legs moving. Huh? You might be moving slow, but give him the credit. Let the Lord know, Lord, I thank you. Right? Why? Because it could be so many other different ways, right? That's true. That's true. That's true. Now, the hereafter follows the same pattern that Jesus laid out to John on the Isle of Patmos. Notice what Jesus told John on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning and I'm the ending. I'm the first, I'm the last, right? Write that which was. Write the things which you have seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be hereafter. Hereafter shall be. Justification, sanctification, glorification, right? Glorification. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The world didn't know him just like it doesn't know us. And though it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we've got this hope. We've got this confidence. We've got this expectation that when he shall come, we shall be like him. We will see him as he is. John saw Jesus as he is. What did he say? I am he that liveth and was dead, but I'm alive for whatevermore. I've got the keys to both what?
Hell and death. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. I'm going to see Jesus as he is. Everybody that got this hope, we purify ourselves. Why? Because Jesus is pure. Missionary, we're going to talk about this evening. You don't let yourself get caught up in the distractions. Why? Because distractions defile your body. They defile your mind. They defile your thinking. Try to make you think on stuff you have no business thinking on. When your mind should be on Jesus, right? But distractions keep on wearing in your mind. What'd they be saying? Think about me. Think about me. Think about me. Think about me. But you got to say, no. No. You are not my hope. Where is your hope at? My hope is in Jesus. Not someday, all day long, right? My hope is in Jesus, saints. My hope is in Jesus. All right. My time. Look at verse number Luke. Look at Luke 17. First of all, before we get there, I want you to understand the responsibility. Look at Luke chapter number 9, 59 and 61. And I'm going to let you all go. My time is done. But I just want to finish off this thought. I have notes, so I'll give you my notes. But I didn't call out all of the scriptures. But Luke chapter number 9, 59 and 61 will let you know what people will do that are not followers of Jesus. So y'all just gotta, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you hear these common responses. Jesus done told you, take up your cross and do what? Follow me. Right? If a man is going to come after me, he's first got to do what? Deny himself. And he's got to follow me, right? Jesus done told you before, that rich man, Lord, I do all of the stuff that you said in your commandments, but the Lord said, one thing you're lacking, give away all that you have. Give away all that you have, and you will have something to look forward to in eternity. That rich man said, no, I can't do that. He went home sad. That lets you know he wasn't willing to be a follower of Jesus, right? He was all in it for self gain. Next fella said, Lord, I lost a loved one. Someone that is very important to me has died. I need to go and bury them. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Follow me because I'm what? I'm life, right? That's, you've got to learn how to do what? Deny who? Yourself, right? Now look at Luke chapter number 9. What did I say?
59
and verse number 61. Let's see the common response.
He said unto another,
yes.
Follow me.
Jesus gave you the instruction. You came, you saw, now he's telling you to follow him, right? But look at what he said. Look at what the flesh said. Look at what man said.
He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Go do what you want to do then.
Jesus said unto him, at the dead, bury.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Does that change the instruction?
No.
The Lord didn't tell you to follow your dead daddy. Amen.
Nope.
Hey, other scholar. Yeah. The Lord never told you to follow your dead daddy. He told you to follow what? Follow me. Why? Because I'm the resurrection and I'm the life, right? Your daddy ain't got no life, right? You can follow him if you want to. You're sitting in the cemetery all the days of your life, right? There will be nothing but waste, right? Because he's not getting up until the Lord gets him up. And when the Lord get him up, he might not want to get up. Some folk in the grave ain't got nothing to look forward to but torment. They in torment now. When they get up, they're going to be in torment, right? So you better stop following behind flesh. Don't follow behind flesh. Follow behind Jesus, right? Next verse, verse number 61.
61 said, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go.
See, there you go. You messed up right there. In other words, Jesus is not a priority. You notice what his priority was when he said first. Jesus is not going to take seconds to nobody. Y'all understand what I'm going to say it again. Jesus is not going to take seconds to nobody. He must be first. Right? I mean, he got to be number one, right? Now notice, this fella sounded like he was saying something really good when he said, Lord, I will follow thee. But he was letting the Lord know in the next part, Lord, you're not a priority. I'm going to follow you, but you're not a priority. Because my priority is what? First, to go back to my family and tell my family goodbye. That's a sad fella, isn't he? Sad fella. But some folk will love their family more than they love Jesus. They will love their family more than they love Jesus. Now jump down, go to chapter number 17 and start at verse number 20, and I'm going to let you go. And this is where you will get those that ultimately reject Jesus. Those that ultimately reject Jesus when it comes down to the response of discipleship. But the Lord is trying to let us know their attitude before they even speak. If you notice in chapter number 17 and verse number 20, again, this is the response of the ungodly, the unrighteous, those that reject faith. Everybody hear what I said? Those that reject faith. Look at verse number 17, chapter number 17 and verse number 20.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees.
First mistake. You can't demand Jesus do anything.
Right.
First mistake, right? Who do you think you are?
Right.
But that's just how bold the devil will be.
Right.
Notice what he says. He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, right? Yes. Low here or low there. Yep. Something that will never happen to them. Y'all understand that? In other words, they will never have the Holy Ghost inside of them. But you got him inside of you. And all because you approached him the right way. You ain't coming to the Lord talking about, tell me this first. Do this for me first. You do this first and then I'll come and do for you. Lord said, go right on. Do you. See how far you get in life. But one thing you will never accomplish is getting me down on the inside of you. That's a sad life, isn't it? Keep reading a little bit further.
And it says that he said to the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the
Son of Man.
And you shall not see him. And they shall say to you, see here or see there.
Go
not after them, no follow.
What did the Lord tell you to do with them folk? Don't go after them and don't you go follow them behind them. In other words, stick with Jesus. Jesus had already given you the instructions on how to develop discipleship in your own life. He gave you those three key words: come, see, and follow. And but then he lets you know there is a reward in the hereafter. In the hereafter. What did he tell that brother? He said, greater things you're going to see if you just stick with me. Greater things you're going to see, saints, if you just stick with Jesus. What will I see, Elder Scudder? Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we all are going to be what? Changed. In the what? In the moment and the twinkling of an eye, right? We're going to be changed. And the Lord knows we need to be what? Looking forward to that. One writer done said that. In other words, Luke said, John said, that brother was going to see the Lord's glory. He said, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending. Oh, things that the world is not going to see, saints. But what? Who will see it? The righteous. The righteous are going to look one day. And who going to show up? Jesus. Behold, he's going to show up on a cloud. He ain't coming down to the earth. You don't want to see the Lord when he comes down to the earth. You want to be with him when he comes to the earth. But you don't want to be on the earth looking up when you see Jesus coming down to the earth. I want to see the Lord on the cloud. And then I want to see him say, come up hither. That's what he told John on the Isle of Patmos. Come up hither. And when John did that, he did what? He says, immediately I was changed. Immediately I was changed. And I was in the spirit. That's something to think about, isn't it? Now, Jesus said, you'll see the angels ascending and descending. Angelic hosts. Guiding. Leading the souls of them that slept down to the grave. Down to the grave for what purpose? Because the grave got to get open. Grave got to get open for what reason? So that them souls can get their bodies, their glorified bodies. The dead in Christ shall do what? Rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together what? With them. What we gonna see? Heavenly hosts. Heavenly hosts doing what? Praising Jesus. Praising Jesus from as far as the eye can see. From one end of the heaven to the other. We will see praise. We will hear praise.
Yes.
Isn't that something to look forward to? I know I want to see it. I don't want to miss that, saints. I don't want to miss that. You stick down here if you want to. Go on. Stay on down. And brother. You don't want that. I'll stick right here and wait for Jesus. But you don't know cousin such and such is cut. Well, they'll be all right. You ain't want to go? Nah, I'm going to stick right here with Jesus. Stick right here with the Lord. Till the Lord come and get me, right? I don't want to miss the Lord, right? I'm going to stick right here till Jesus say. Come on, saints, don't forget those three words. Come, see, and follow. Come, see, and follow. Come, see, and follow. You want to be a disciple of Jesus, you must embrace those words. You must embrace those words. Many people will tell you to come and see other stuff. According to that verse, what did that verse say? Many in that day, they're going to say, come see this, come see that. Come over here, come over there. But you must remain steadfast. You must remain unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. As long as it's in the Lord, saints. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus.